of the Bhagavad Gita. The chapter opens with Krishna explaining the yoga system. The first part, Krishna primarily is talking about the mind, how the mind can be your best friend if it's controlled, or how the mind can be your worst enemy if it's uncontrolled. Then Krishna explains the yoga system to Arjuna. And if you read those verses carefully, you can see that the actual yoga system taught by Krishna is very strict. And after Arjuna hears the yoga system after Arjuna hears from Krishna, here's what Arjuna says. O Madhusudan, the system of yoga which you have summarized appears impractical and unendurable to me, for the mind is restless and unsteady. For the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong. And to subdue it, I think it more difficult than controlling the wind, O Krishna. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that just see the stature of a person like Arjuna, highly decorated warrior, he defeated even demigods in battle and got boons from various demigods. And he was the personal friend of Krishna. Krishna became his chauffeur, drove his chariot. He comes from a great lineage. And Arjuna rejects the yoga system, saying that this mind, you want me, because controlling the mind is the real crux of the yoga system. That begins from that point, controlling the mind. And Arjuna is saying, you might as well ask me to try to control a hurricane. You want me to control my mind. So that's what Arjuna said, but it is interesting what Krishna says in response. And it is very, very practical and important to us. So let's see what Krishna says in response. Let's see how good you are in Sanskrit and your knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Asangshayang Mahabaho Mano Durnigrahang Chalam Abhyasena Tukaunteya Vairagyena Chagrihyate. Please repeat. Lord Sri Krishna said, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and detachment. So, Krishna here agrees with Arjuna. Yes, undoubtedly it's difficult. But Krishna is not letting Arjuna off the hook. I'm sorry. It is possible to control the mind. And he gives the two ways. Suitable practice and detachment. And of course, in ISKCON, we study the Bhagavad Gita as it is, with elaborate purports by our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. And before I read the purport, I want to also mention that on Christmas Day, when you all come for the DVD premiere, it is especially wonderful because this second edition is going to have much footage of Prabhupada here in Los Angeles. So it'll be a very nice treat for you all. You get to see what New Dwarka looked like in the 70s, and how Prabhupada was intimately related to this temple. So So let's take a look at what Prabhupada wants us to understand in this verse by Krishna. Now, before I read it, I want to remind you that right now what you're doing is the first item of bhakti. It's called shravanam, or hearing. So this is service and surrender to Krishna. You're sitting here lending your ears and trying to hear. That's very pleasing to Krishna. Krishna's in your heart, and he sees, and he's also on the altar, and he sees, oh, you're trying to hear my Bhagavad Gita? Oh, very good. I will bless you. So keep that in mind, that you're performing a service right now. So try to listen attentively. That's the key, with rapt attention. The difficulty of controlling the obstinate mind, as expressed by Arjuna, is accepted by the personality of Godhead. But at the same time, he suggests that by practice and detachment, it is possible. What is that practice? That's very nice. Prabhupada did that. In the present age, no one can observe the strict rules and regulations of placing oneself in a sacred place, focusing the mind on the super soul, restraining the senses and mind, observing celibacy, remaining alone, etc. Because that's what Krishna explained in the previous verses when he explained the yoga system to Arjuna. And Prabhupada is supporting what Arjuna is saying. By the practice of Krishna consciousness, however, one engages in 9 types of devotional service to the Lord. So that's what I mentioned. You're doing the first one, hearing. In Krishna consciousness, 9 types of devotional service. The first and foremost of such devotional engagements is hearing about Krishna. See that? Just happened to turn out that way. I didn't read the purport today. So that's serendipitous. The first and foremost of such devotional engagements is hearing about Krishna. This is a very powerful transcendental method for purging the mind of all misgivings. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. See, that's what Maya does. Maya does that. She tries to divert your attention. I bet you right now Maya's trying to divert your attention. Maybe. But I have a feeling she is. Right now she's saying, I don't want to hear this guy. He's missing a tooth. I want to listen to something else. Yes, Maya is very expert distracting you, diverting you. But you have to be strong. No. I will try to hear. I will try to listen. This is a very powerful transcendental method for purging the mind of all misgivings. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. By detaching the mind from activities not devoted to the Lord, one can very easily learn vairagya. Vairagya means detachment from matter and engagement of the mind and spirit. Now that's significant. Two sides of the coin. A lot of people will say vairagya simply means detachment from matter. But Prabhupada is giving you the other side of the coin. Attachment to Krishna. You gotta have both. Just detachment from matter is going to ultimately prove a failure because it's artificial and it's impersonal. So the other side of detachment is attachment to Krishna. Vaimagya means detachment from matter and engagement of the mind and spirit. Impersonal spiritual detachment is more difficult than attaching the mind to the activities of Krishna. Why would Prabhupada say that? Because that's exactly what Krishna says in chapter 12. when Arjuna asks the question, should I worship you personally or impersonally? And Krishna definitively says, best is you worship my personal form. And then he goes on and says, if you worship me impersonally, klesha adhikata rastesham, trouble. Simply trouble. So that's why Prabhupada is saying that. This is practical because by hearing about Krishna, one becomes automatically attached to the Supreme Spirit. We are also spirit, but I'm sorry, we're not the Supreme Spirit. We're not the Supreme. Okay? The Supreme Spirit is Krishna. This attachment is called Pareshanubhava. Everyone say that nice word. Paresh Anubhava, spiritual satisfaction. It is just like the feeling of satisfaction a hungry man has for every morsel of food he eats. And right now your mind is saying, yeah, end the class so we can go take prasadam. Yes, but it's not 6 o'clock yet. You can stop me at 6. If I'm not done by 6 o'clock, ring the bell and we'll all leave. Okay? But don't look at the clock, look at Krishna. The more one eats while hungry, the more one feels satisfaction and strength. And by the way, I was recently told, you all probably know Ratna Bhushana Das, the backbone of this temple. And he was telling me on Monday that this temple, we eat a lot of prasadam. He says that even on a day when there's like less people at the Sunday feast, he still cooks the same amount and the prasadam is gone. So Ratna was, and Ratna, if you're listening, Hari Bol, because he might be listening, he says that this temple, we really know how to eat prasadam. And that's why I sometimes make a joke. We read that there are 9 processes. Well, in my religion, there's a 10th, eating them. So, eating Krishna prasadam, that is a very, for me, it's more powerful. As I've said many times, if it wasn't for prasadam, I would not be a devotee. I guarantee you. All right, let's get back to reality. The more one eats while hungry, the more one feels satisfaction and strength. Similarly, by discharge of devotional service, one feels transcendental satisfaction as the mind becomes detached from material objectives. So it's like a balance, right? If you have a balance, right? As you put more on one side, the other side goes up, right? So if you are putting more and more emphasis on material things, your spiritual life, bye-bye. And if you put more emphasis on your spiritual things, then your material life automatically has to go bye-bye. And what's the pure devotee? The pure devotee has no material life, only Krishna-conscious spiritual life. Prabhupada, the best and only example that I can go by. 24 hours a day, simply absorbed in spreading Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki. And we will see that on Christmas Day. You will see Prabhupada in L.A. And you will be convinced, yes, he was 100% Krishna conscious. It is something like curing a disease by expert treatment and appropriate diet. Hearing of the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna is therefore expert treatment for the mad mind. So here Prabhupada is giving you the secret of success. From time to time, we're all going to have that day when your mind is like so disturbed. So disturbed. That day comes. And you'll be totally bewildered and disturbed and annoyed. In ISKCON we say, Prabhu, I'm fried. I'm deep fried, Prabhu. No, Prabhu, I'm maximum fried. I'm like the pakora burns at the bottom of the wok. That's how my mind is. That day sometimes comes. So here Prabhupada is telling you, okay, when that day comes, this is what you do. You hear of the transcendental activities of Krishna. So immediately, if anything, the easiest thing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, and chant louder than your mind. Remember that. Because if you're chanting, but your mind is louder, then the only way to control that mind is you have to chant louder than your mind. Now, I don't know about you, but my mind is very loud. It's on 11. So I have to chant very loud to turn my mind off, because my mind is very loud. And when you're mad or when you're upset, then the mind is on 12 and 15 and 20, 10 being the maximum, so you can imagine. Right? So you have to chant louder. Or chanting or reading Bhagavad Gita or Prabhupada's Krishna book or Srimad Bhagavatam, this is what Prabhupada is suggesting. Hearing of the transcendent, or come to the temple, come to the class, and associate with devotees. This is how you cure the mad mind. Hearing of the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna is therefore expert treatment for the mad mind, and thank you, Prabhupada, and eating the foodstuff offered to Krishna is the appropriate diet for the suffering patient. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada is such a nice spiritual master, huh? He gives you both. He gives you nice books to read about Krishna, and after you've read, okay, now take some prasad. This treatment is the process of Krishna consciousness. So here you go. This is Krishna consciousness. Hear about Krishna and take prasadam. Krishna has one more statement for Arjuna. For one whose mind is unbridled, so that's a, brings up the whole concept of a horse. And sometimes like we have our Bhagavad Gita museum, and there's the one exhibit where the person is riding in the chariot, and you have the different wild horses representing the senses, and the reins are the mind. So anyone who knows, the way to control the horse is through the mouth. Even Krishna knew that when he was trying to kill the Keshi demon. Krishna knew that the way to control the horse is through his mouth. So Krishna took his left arm and stuck it into Keshi's mouth. But for Keshi, it was not prasadam. No, it felt like a hot iron rod, and it was expanding, and Keshi fell down dead. So Prabhupada mentions in one place that Krishna knew how to control the horse. So if you ride a horse, it has a bridle, and then the rider, he pulls on that, and the horse, it goes like that, and the horse has to slow down. That's how you control the horse. So Krishna here is saying, your mind, right? Unbridled. That means the horse is running wild. It's just wild. For one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work. But he whose mind is controlled and who strives by appropriate means is assured of success. So it's not hopeless. It's not impossible. Krishna here is giving us the science. This is why I like Krishna consciousness. It's a science. Krishna is not, fooling you. And Krishna is not bluffing you like some politician might. The politician will bluff you, but he has no real solutions. He tells you one thing on Monday. When that fails, he tells you something else on Tuesday. When that fails, he tells you something else. Always giving excuses, but not solving the problem, because he can't solve the problem. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna knows the answer. And he's giving you yes. And he's not, being politically correct, and he's not being nicey-nice. He's telling the straight fact. Here it is. Yes, the mind is difficult to control, but it is possible. Now, it says here, if you control your mind and strive by appropriate means, you are assured of success. Assured. That means without doubt. Definitely. That is Krishna consciousness. It's a science. And then he says, that is my opinion. So, I don't know about you, but I take Krishna's opinion very seriously. After all, he's God. I mean, whose opinion are you going to take over God? Rush Limbaugh? No, I don't think so. I'll take Krishna's opinion any day. After all, if you study the life of Krishna, he's undefeated. Right? Even the great Mr. Muhammad Ali, who used to boast, I am the greatest! Yeah, but he got defeated. And if you see him now, it's like, ooh, ooh. So Krishna, if you study the history, Krishna never got defeated. He's victorious. Even when he was a little baby, even the first demon king, Krishna was a month, 2 months old. Krishna killed the first demon, then the next one, 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 the one after the other. And not that he was struggling. Prabhupada says Krishna was doing it nonchalantly. Nonchalantly. It was easy. No problem for Krishna. So he's undefeated. Therefore, if Krishna says, this is my opinion, I definitely accept it. All those who accept Krishna as God, please say, Hari Bol. Jai. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead declares that one who does not accept the proper treatment to detach the mind from material engagement can hardly achieve success in self-realization. Trying to practice yoga while engaging the mind in material enjoyment is like trying to ignite a fire while pouring water on it. So this is like I was saying before. I was giving the example of the scale. That is, one increases, the other decreases. So Prabhupada's saying the same thing. You're trying to ignite a fire, just like you all know, if we do the fire yajna, the homa, right? You want the wood as dry as possible. And if Rabindranath is trying to light the fire and some idiot comes and puts a cup of water, forget it, man, he'll be cursed right there on the spot. Because we see Rabindranath, and all those who oppose this right, may they go to the kingdom of death. There's that part in the yajna. So the idea is, you want to keep the wood as dry as possible. So we're trying to ignite the fire of Krishna consciousness. Yoga practice without mental control is a waste of time. Such a show of yoga may be materially lucrative, but it is useless as far as spiritual realization is concerned. Therefore, one must control the mind by engaging it constantly in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So that's what we call bhakti yoga or Krishna consciousness. Hearing, chanting, remembering. Unless one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, he or she cannot steadily control the mind. So you have to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. A Krishna conscious person easily achieves the result of yoga practice without separate endeavor. Because earlier in this chapter, it was explained by Krishna, what is the goal of yoga? Samadhi. And samadhi means complete absorption in one thing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the best, highest example of samadhi is the gopis. That nothing deviates them from thinking and remembering Krishna. Nothing. So that's the goal of yoga. And he says here, if you practice Krishna consciousness, you will get that. But a yoga practitioner cannot achieve success without becoming Krishna conscious. And why would Prabhupada say that? Because Prabhupada is a follower of Lord Chaitanya, and it's part of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy that whether you follow karma or fruitive action, or whether you follow jnana, mental speculation, or if you practice yoga, You cannot be successful unless there's some tinge of bhakti. So the real thing is bhakti. That's the real thing. And there's this nice line that explains these nine processes of devotional service. Shravana kirtana smarana vandana pada sevana dasyare. Everyone, please. Shravana Pujana Shaki Janatmani Vedana Pujana Shaki Janatmani Vedana. Govinda Das Abhilashare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, the first item, shravanam, hearing. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out that for each of the nine processes, there is an individual who is cited as the perfection. So, for shravanam, hearing, it's Maharaj Parikshit, who sat on the bank of the Yamuna for 7 days. No eating, no sleeping, no drinking. I can barely follow Janmashtami. And he did it for 7 days and seven nights, wrapped, just completely wrapped, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that ties in with the second item, kirtan, which is given Shukadeva Goswami. He spoke the wonderful, beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam 7 days, seven nights, without stop. So hearing and chanting, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out these two processes, hearing and chanting, in terms of all the nine, don't think about the others unless these two are done sufficiently. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out there's no question of the others unless these two are done very, very thoroughly. So we stress in Krishna consciousness movement, hearing and chanting. After all, what did Lord Chaitanya say? Hare nama eva kevalam. Kalo nastyeva, 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 gacharanyata. Hearing, chanting continuously. Kirtaniya sada hari. Always. Always means always. Then, the next item, smaranam, remembering. We have the nice picture of Nrsimhadev killing Hiranyakashipu, and there is the young boy, Prahlad, who is the example of remembering. Because no matter what his father did to try to kill him, Prahlad simply remembered the Lord and was chanting nicely. In any circumstance, Prahlad was undisturbed, not agitated, and simply remembering. No matter what, he's put in the boiling oil, he remembers Krishna. He's put in the pit of snakes, he remembers Krishna. The demons come, chindi bindi, trying to pierce his body, he remembers Krishna. His mother, his own mother, gives him food laced with poison. Prahlad offers it and eats it. Nothing happens. So in every instance, Prahlad remembered the Lord. So he is given Shravana Kirtana Smara Vandanam, offering prayers. Akrura is given, the great devotee of Krura is given as the person who is perfect in this item of offering prayers. As he was going to Vrindavan, being sent by Kamsa, Akrura was praying in his mind, thinking of how he was going to visit Krishna. And then when taking Krishna out of Vrindavan, they bathed in the Yamuna, and Akrura saw that Krishna and Balaram turned into Mahavishnu and Sheshanag, and he offered beautiful, beautiful prayers glorifying Sri Krishna. So Akrura teaches us, Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Padasevanam. Padasevanam means to render particular service to the Lord's lotus feet. And the example, Sri Lakshmiji. Sri Lakshmiji is eternally residing on the chest of Lord Narayan because he has those marks, Sri Vatsa. And she is eternally there, but Lakshmi is thinking, no. I want to render service like the devotees. Because the devotees are getting special nectar because they are rendering service to the Lord's lotus feet. And therefore Lakshmi leaves her place on the bosom of the Lord to render humble, menial servant to the Lord's lotus feet. So she is given as the perfection. She doesn't have to do that. She is the wife. She should be on the chest of the Lord. But no, she wants that same nectar that we get when we render humble service to the Lord. Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandanam Padasevanam. Pujana, worship of the Lord. And the example of perfection is Prithu Maharaj, who worshipped the Lord so nicely. Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandanam Padasevanam Pujana Sakijan and Dasyam. So let's do Dasyam first. Service, the humble servant. And who's the example? Hanumanji. Hanumanji rendered so much service to Lord Ramachandra. He was the one that delivered the ring to Sita when she was there. And he burnt the city of Lanka. They put his tail on fire. And then he escaped. And wherever he ran, he set Lanka on fire. And Lanka was burning, burning, burning. And Hanuman and his soldiers helped Ram in defeating Ravan. And it was Hanuman and the monkey army that helped Ram build the bridge from India to Ceylon, Sri Lanka. So after all was said and done, when Ram is enthroned in Ayodhya, Ram wanted to give Hanuman a special benediction. But Hanuman said, no, my Lord, I am simply happy and satisfied rendering you service. That's why he's called Bhakta Raj. He teaches us by his personal example that the pure devotee doesn't want anything in exchange from the Lord. Just the right, the privilege to do service. This is the pure devotee. And Hanuman teaches that. Doesn't want any opulence from the Lord, any position from the Lord. No. Just let me render you service. This is the mood. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us in a similar way. Nadanang na janang na sundaring kavitang va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani shure bhavatad bhaktir ahoitaki twayi. My Lord, I do not want wealth, I don't want popularity, I don't want sense gratification, beautiful women. All I want, and I don't even want liberation. I may take my birth life after life, that's okay, but I do simply want to be able to render you causeless, unmotivated service. So that's the meaning, that's the symptom, that's the mentality of the pure devotee. And finally, there is Atmanivedanam, full surrender. And who's given as the example? Oh, I forgot. Wait, I can't go there. I forgot friendship. Sakijan, I forgot. So, Sakijan, there it is. Arjuna and Krishna. That Arjuna is given as the one who has that nice friendship relationship with Krishna. As I mentioned before, that Arjuna is such a good friend of Krishna. Krishna has agreed to be his chariot driver, Partha Sarathi. Everyone can say? Yes. That Krishna's, they're such good friends. Krishna said, yes, I will drive your chariot for you. They did so many things together, Krishna and Arjuna. And then, Atmanivedanam, full surrender. And Bali Maharaj is given that when Vamanadev came, Chalayasi Vikramane Balim Adbhuta Vamanam Padanaka Nira Janita Janapavana Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Vamanadev Chalayasi, he cheated, he tricked Bali. Yes, the Lord is very tricky sometimes. Don't ever get into a gambling match with Krishna. You won't win. So he cheated him. He tricked Bali. Because Bali was performing a sacrifice. Vamana came in the form of a dwarf Brahmin. And the culture is that if the Brahmin comes to your sacrifice, you give charity. And Vamanadev said, yes, I just want 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj said, no, young Brahmin, you're not very prudent. I can give you your own planet. I own everything. Don't you want your own planet? And Vamanadev said, no. If I'm not satisfied with 3 steps of land, I won't be satisfied even if I have the whole universe. Just give me 3 steps of land. But with 2 steps, Vamanadev took everything away from Bali. 2 steps. That's Krishna. He's expert. With 2 steps, he took everything up and down, all around. So Vamanadev said, sir, you owe me, he came with the bill. Sir, you owe me 1 more step. So Bali Maharaj, Prabhupada explains, Bali Maharaj said, yes, my Lord, I still have my head. You can place your 3rd step on my head. And Prabhupada says, in this way, Bali purchased the Lord. Because although the Lord punished him, and because at this time Bali was sitting on the throne of Indra, Indra and the demigods were incognito, hiding. Because Indra woke up one day and he looked out his window, and there he saw Bali and millions of soldiers had come to take over. Talk about a coup d'etat. So Indra and the demigods had to go into hiding. And Bali was sitting on the throne. So after Vamanadev took everything away, Vamanadev punished Bali and said, no, you have to go down, 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 down to this low, low planet called Sutala. But although he cheated Bali, and although he punished him by putting him in this low planet, Sutala, Vamanadev said, I will become your doorkeeper. So what would you rather be, king of heaven or in hell with Vamanadev as your doorkeeper? You make your choice. And it said that when Ravana came to conquer Bali, he was greeted at the door by Vaman. And what did Vamanadev do? He kicked Ravana, go back to where you came, and he kicked them. So Vamanadeva's the original sucker player because he kicked Ravana, get out. So, and then not only that, so he has Vamanadeva as his doorkeeper, Chokidar, right? In the next turn of events, Bali Maharaj becomes Indra, because these positions, Indra, Brahma, they're positions, and they're temporary. So whoever is Indra now, the clock is ticking. Because at some point, Bali Maharaj becomes Indra. So, and then there's one more devotee. We mentioned 9 processes and persons who are perfections. But there's one devotee, he did all 9. Chapanbog. He did all of them. Who is that? Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish is described in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So nice, the description, how he was engaging everything, all of his bodily limbs, all of his activities, everything in the service of the Lord. So you can do 1 or 2 or 3 or do all 9. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stresses, you have to do the first 2. Don't jump. No. You have to do hearing and chanting. And don't forget the 10th, eating them. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gaura Premanande. So you were a very, very good audience. I give you an A. You chanted nicely. And you did the Sanskrit very well. So, Archita Das. Yes, Prabhu. Uh-oh. In the current age or in the well, I would think the first comes to my mind is be Madhu Mangal, who just loves, and he's getting from Krishna off of his plate, because there's descriptions that when Krishna has breakfast, he's not very interested, he's not very hungry. So he's just nibbling at the food. And Mother Yashoda is trying to induce Krishna. Oh, I have made this thing. It is very tasty. You must eat this. And when she's not looking, Krishna's putting everything on Madhu Mangala's plate. And we know that Madhu Mangala is very, very fond of, what is it, sweet balls? Ladus. So, but there's also the descriptions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they honored prasadam very, very sumptuously. And you could say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personifies, because he was very nicely honoring prasadam. What would you say? Vrikodar. Hey, see? So I didn't get the right answer. I have to give you one sweet ball as payment. Vrikodar. Very good. Thank you. Anything else? Anybody want to speak something? Subhastas, do you want to say something?
Bhima.
Yes. All right. Is everybody satisfied? No complaints? All right. Let's go take prasadam. All glories to Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadisha Ki.
वंचा कल्पतरुभ्यः कृपासिन्धुभ्यः च